say,
"Hello and welcome to The Dollop. My name is Dave Anthony, and each week I read a story from American history to my friend
Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is about.
Maybe it's about a guy named Gary."
Well, that wouldn't be extremely relatable for me, other than the goddamn syndrome you've created.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah, boo-hoo. Yeah. Listen, you get to keep your name.
Dave.
Yeah. So fuck you. It's Gareth. What are you... Dude.
Okay, Gary.
I don't even know why I engage anymore in this.
God, you want a little hit of dude?
I'll do one bump.
People say this is funny.
Not Gary, Gareth.
Dave, okay.
Someone or something is tickling people.
Is it for fun?
And this is not going to become the tickling podcast.
Okay.
You are Queen Fakey of Made Up Town.
All hail Queen Shit of Liesville.
A bunch of religious virgins go to mingle.
And do what?
Pray.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Nicely done, my friend.
No. No.
Gary.
Gareth.
Marvin Hemeyer.
Mari.
Marvin.
Mari.
We can't do that to the people in the story.
Oh, I'll do what I like.
Okay. Marvin Hemeyer. Hemeyer, Hemeyer, Hemeyer. What a terrible name. H-E-E-M-E-Y-E-R.
Yeah, Hemeyer.
It's not a good name.
It's like a Jewish He-Man.
Very much so.
Yeah. I'm Hemeyer.
That's actually where the story goes. He's the Jewish He-Man.
I'm very excited.
It's pretty great. Yeah. He was of Granby, Colorado, and he was a profoundly frustrated muffler repairman.
Okay. It sounds like that could be a...
That's the log line.
It's a fair emotion in muffler repair, I would
imagine.
Doesn't
it sound like you want to see that movie?
Oh, my God, yeah. Nicolas Cage. Repairs a muffler.
Or does he?
No, he does.
Marvin first became enamored with the state of Colorado when he was stationed there in the Air Force. After leaving the military, he moved to Grand Lake, Colorado, and opened a small chain of muffler shops in surrounding cities. After a while, he began to lease some of the shops out to other operators, but he kept one, Mountain View Muffler in Granby, to operate himself.
Oh, boy.
He had no known relatives in the area.
No one to judge him.
Right. No one to give him any shit.
Yeah.
How many mufflers you doing this week, boy?
Yeah. No He-Meyers coming over.
Marvin was pretty well liked among his friends and neighbors, and he was described as someone who would bend over backwards for anyone.
Okay.
Although some said he had a volatile temperament.
Well, it's the some who I'm curious about.
Marvin was into local politics.
Okay.
He was a big proponent of legalized gambling.
Okay.
We all have our cause.
Sure. Yeah. Let's. Yeah, yeah.
It's a good one.
It's great when that's top of your list of things that you got to get rid of.
Can we not be playing blackjack right now?
We're almost out of water in this city.
I just want to play cards. he published newsletters to spread his views.
Okay. I mean, it's already never, there are just.
There's signs, right?
The great, like, the stereotypical signs.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Well, it's never a good sign when a guy starts with a newsletter.
Newsletter like, is, never, dude, newsletter at 2% are worthwhile.
There's never been a guy who started a newsletter to express his political views where things went well with him.
Political views newsletter equals bad shit.
Yeah, bad shit's coming down the road. If you do know someone who has started a newsletter, we recommend you call the police and stay far
please
away.
Please call 1-800-NEWSLETTER.
Yeah, and just report a bomb in the house, because that's probably what's happening.
Well, there's a bomb inside of that person. Just because you can't hear it ticking or see it doesn't mean it's not there.
Marvin would have loved to have a bomb inside of himself.
Oh, boy.
When a reporter for a local paper interviewed Marvin for an editorial opposed to gambling. A reporter from the local paper comes down to interview him, who's for legalized gambling.
Yes.
So they're doing an editorial opposed to legalized gambling. So they interview him.
Yeah.
A guy, the owner of the muffler shop.
Yep. Sure. Great paper. And for an opposing view, a mechanic.
He reported that Marvin was so upset by the opposition that the interview nearly came to physical blows. That's just with the reporter.
I mean, and that's...
That means the reporter was just reading him statements from the opposition, and he wanted to fight the reporter.
I'll kick your fucking ass. Motherfucker.
No, these are quotes.
I'll fucking kick your fucking quoted ass.
Oh, no, these are quotes.
Oh, that's a quote too? Get over here, piece of shit. What? Motherfucker.
In another instance, Marvin threatened to kill Christy...
Great beginning to go from almost got physical to, in another instance, Marvin threatened to kill.
In another instance, Marvin threatened to kill Christy Baker, or her husband, when she refused to pay for a faulty muffler repair.
Weesh. So.
All right. So he had a weird.
Temper.
He had a weird policy for returns.
Mm-hmm.
Do-over labor.
Sounds like confrontation was an issue.
Hey, my muffler doesn't work. Hey, how about I kill your fucking husband?
I'll kill your husband. I just beat the shit out of a reporter. I'll kill your fucking husband.
What's stopping me? A good business relationship with the town?
All right, where's your husband?
If Marv was your friend... Did I say friend or fend? If Marv was your friend, he was your best friend, said one of Marvin's friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Again, it's not the friends, it's the sum.
But if he decided that he was your enemy, then he was your worst and most dangerous enemy.
Mm. Why be
so
friends
with
him?
So he's hot and cold. Hot and cold.
Yeah, yep, yeah, yeah. He's a real all or nothing guy.
In the late 1990s, the Dochef family approached Martin to buy his one remaining muffler shop in order to build a concrete batch plant on the land.
Perfect.
Marvin had bought the land for $42,000.
Okay.
Dochef said they came to an agreement to buy the land for $250,000.
All righty.
So he's making a sale.
Yeah.
But then Marvin asked for $375,000.
Interesting counter.
And then mentioned $1 million.
Okay. Well, you want to close with this guy right away.
Called negotiating.
Yeah, it's definitely good negotiating.
At this point, Dochef's couldn't handle the bullshit and went to the Granby City Council seeking to rezone the land surrounding Marvin's muffler shop.
Mm. Now, knowing Marvin as well as I do, I'm going to say he doesn't like that power move.
Oh, he's not big on the rezoning.
Yeah, right? I would see that would rub him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marvin was all over the rezoning process. He attended town meetings to ensure that his interests were protected. None that mattered in 2001, none of that mattered. In 2001, the zoning commission and the trustees approved the rezoning request.
2001?
Yeah, it's recent.
Okay.
And it was not good for Marvin. He had used the adjacent property as a way to get to his muffler shop. The plan for the concrete plant cut off the only route to his muffler shop.
They're just going to trap Sweet Marvin?
They're going to trap Marvin in his muffler shop.
I can see why he'd be a little pissed.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah, no, you can't leave.
No, that's it.
So
the city then fined Marvin $2,500 for junk cars on his property and for failing to have his shop hooked up to a sewer line.
Oh, boy.
Now, I'm hoping he had like a motorhome there. It wasn't just like shitting in a hole, but I could see Marvin shitting in a hole.
Holes being generous.
I don't need no sewer. There's a lot of that being yelled.
I just yelled at a rusty car, shouted at a dead car.
Marvin was not defeated yet. He tried to fix the situation. He appealed to the zoning commission's decision. Sorry, I've been working all day.
That's okay.
And gathered signatures from locals.
You're a good fiend.
I am. Gathered signatures from locals to petition the plant.
Okay.
Okay. He attempted to obtain permission to install a sewer line under 8 feet of land owned by Mountain Park Concrete, but the new owners refused.
See.
So they're being douchebags.
They're being dicks, but I just never understand why be dicks to crazy people.
Don't poke the wild animal.
Be the friend, not the bad enemy.
No, you got to know that the guy's already crazy, so you just don't poke it.
No.
Marvin then went so far as to buy a Komatsu D335A bulldozer to build a new road that would allow customers to get to his muffler shop. But the city council declined to approve his new road.
Boy, I mean, we're really...
But here's the thing.
We're really stacking stuff against old Marv.
This is me, though. First, I ask if I can build a road, and then I buy the bulldozer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that's like a waste of money at that point.
Yeah.
Right? So now you have a bulldozer that you just look at every day and go, God damn it!
That's why when and if I propose, then I'll go, all right, I'm going to go get this ring.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Good man.
Yeah.
A lot of people in the town thought there were some shady dealings between the concrete plant and the members of the city council, but no actual evidence of such illegal goings-on has ever been found.
Okay.
Having no choice, Marvin sent the city a $2,500 check to cover the fines with the word cowards written on the memo line.
I love the memo line.
Memo, oh yeah.
Memo line's great.
Yeah.
Some bullshit.
Yeah, I sent my manager once on the memo line. I put blood money.
Yeah, yeah.
And they called me up and they said, did you put blood money on it? Yeah.
Yes, you can write anything. You can just write the penis doctor. It's like, what?
He then sold the muffler shop property to a trash company and was given 6 months to vacate.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So this is all okay. Marvin's going to...
Oh, whoa. That was very telling. You didn't even finish your sentence and did a lie sniff. You did a fib sniff.
Marvin wrote, I was always willing to be reasonable until I had to be unreasonable. Sometimes reasonable men must do unreasonable things.
Oh boy, that's when you're an unreasonable person.
Marvin moved his Komatsu D335A bulldozer into the muffler shop.
Okay.
And began to make some modifications.
Oh, boy, here we go. Newsletter modifications. These are buzzwords.
He started by adding some homemade composite armor cement sandwiched between thick sheets of steel to protect the cab engine and parts of the tracks. In places, the vehicle's armor was over 1 foot thick. This made the machine impervious to small arms fire and resistant to explosives. During 1.5 years of construction...
What?
Marvin documented his progress through notes and audio tapes. Quote, because of your anger, because of your malice, because of your hate, you would not work with me. I am going to sacrifice my life, my miserable future that you gave me to show you that what you did is wrong.
Oh, boy.
Marvin's coming.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. But, I mean...
That doesn't sound good, right?
It's just, it's a foot?
Yeah, a foot.
I mean, that's very...
That's some thick armor.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's planning on giving his life up for this cause.
Oh, he's making a bunker.
Yeah.
On top of a bulldozer.
Yeah, a bulldoze bunker. He's making a bunkdozer.
A few friends popped in on Marvin while...
Hey, Marv! What are you doing?
A few friends popped in on Marvin while he was building his killdozer.
Whoa, there we go.
None of them seemed alarmed at the weaponized armor shell on top of his bulldozer.
Okay.
Marvin thought it was interesting that no one saw his part-time project. Several men visited the shed late but did not discover the modified bulldozer, especially the 2,000 pounds lift fully exposed. Somehow their vision was clouded, he wrote. By God.
Yeah.
By God.
Yeah, I mean...
Or they were like, Jesus, I don't want to.
That's honestly.
I'm not going to bring that up.
Honestly, that was what
that's
I was
what
just
it was.
Thinking. Yeah.
No, they didn't, no one was going to bring it up. Yeah. No one was going to be like,
look, if
no.
I walked in a room and a dude I knew had like a dead body behind him and had some blood on him, I'd be like, bro, what's up, bro?
Yeah, you don't say anything about
that. Sick, them. Dude. Oh, I don't give a shit about that stuff. No, that's all good.
I'm going to get out of here.
All right, man. Well, maybe I'll cruise by later. And then you just run.
Maybe it should have worked itself out.
Yeah.
He installed front and rear cameras to feed images to two monitors in the cab.
Wow.
The cameras were protected on the outside by 3 inches of bullet-resistant plastic.
Jesus Christ.
Onboard fans and an air conditioner were used to keep Marvin cool.
Yeah, because when you're about to go on a suicide mission, who wants to sweat?
While driving, and compressed air nozzles were fitted to blow dust away from the video cameras.
What a fucking... I mean...
I mean, he's thought of everything.
Yeah,
this is like the end of Animal House times 20.
Yeah, yeah.
He made 3 gun ports fitted for a 50 caliber sniper rifle,
wow,
a 308 semi-automatic, and a 22 long rifle.
Jesus.
All fitted with a half-inch thick steel plate. A stockpile of food and water was stored inside,
Jesus,
as well as an air tank to help provide circulation. He's going on a vacation.
Also, Dish Network and a tanning bed.
all four seasons of Jersey Shore
yeah.
on video.
You'll be able to see it on the next episode of Cribs.
Shit got even worse for Marvin in 2004. His father passed away in March, and he broke off his engagement when he caught his fiance banging another dude.
Boy, that guy's on the does list now.
He was already on the edge.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why she ended up, you know, that's probably why she ran to the arms of another. But that guy's sort of like, you said that it just says it's complicated on Facebook, bro, so I don't know what her deal is.
This is much more complicated than anticipated.
You clearly have been working on a killdozer.
You know what? You should tell me if your husband has a killdozer. That's just like a upfront kind of thing.
I just like right after sex, like, so what does your husband actually do? I don't know. He's pretty crazy.
He's building a killdozer.
I'm sorry? He's building a...
He's making a killdozer?
Like, he's crazy and he's, like, going to kill a bunch of people.
You're so good at eating me out. You're so good at it.
Oh, shit. He's back early.
The morning of Friday, the 4th of June, was gray and drizzly. Marvin mailed his audio tapes to his brother, went to his shop, and climbed into his bulldozer with a handwritten list of targets.
Oh, my God.
He used the winch controls to lower the concrete and steel shell onto the top of his vehicle. Nothing short of a crane would be able to lift the 30-ton armored shell off the vehicle once it was in place. 30 tons!
And a crane! I mean, that's just
he put a bunker on top!
Yeah. And the only way to get him out of there is a crane? I mean, that's like that high-stakes video game where you can win the little stuffed animals.
That's not a high-stakes game.
This is a high-stakes version of the...
Oh, okay. Because that's not a high-stakes game at all.
Listen, they got to legalize clean sweep. Okay? Every state.
After 3 p.m., the bulldozer drove through the side of the shed.
I'll just say right off the bat...
Awesome.
You just know that this is this man's culminating...
I mean...
So you just ran out of fucks to give. Drive through the motherfucker.
There are no fucks to give, and he goes through the side, and how they're it should be like a video. Na 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 na. Killdozer tonight at 8.
Yeah, killdozer. Sunday.
He drove through the side of his shed and immediately smashed into the Mountain Park concrete plant.
Boom.
Shortly thereafter, the phones at the 911 response center began ringing. Cody Docheff watched the bulldozer attacking his family's cement plant and attempted to use a front-end loader to intercept Marvin's bulldozer.
A front-end loader?
You know what a front-end loader is?
No.
It's like a small version. It's not a bulldozer.
It's a small, like a craney.
Yeah, yeah, it's got like a little hook that
lifts
digs
the
up.
Pallets and stuff.
It like digs up shit and yeah, does something like that. Lifts up pallets. Okay. So it's not very...
It's not a bulldozer. You're fighting killdozer.
Docheff backed off when he was shot at by Killdozer.
Marvin. I think it's fair now that Marvin's dead.
We should. It's now a Stephen King novel.
He's now Killdozer.
Within minutes, two buildings of the cement plant were destroyed, as well as multiple vehicles. But that's I'm okay with that part. The Docheffs were fucking dicks.
Yeah, you are. I don't know who's the hero, but it's not the Docheffs or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Then the killdozer rumbled towards the highway that heads into town. Oh, by the time the bulldozer reached the city limits of Granby, it had a parade of emergency vehicle escorts. One police SUV was crushed when it got too close.
Jesus.
Yeah.
SUV.
Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah.
This is no fucking joke, right?
No.
Under Sheriff Glenn Traynor climbed atop and rode the bulldozer, quote, like a Bronco Buster trying to figure out a way to get a bullet inside the dragon.
Whoa.
End quote. Glenn likes his metaphors. Glenn is super into movies.
Yeah, he has to be.
Colorful language.
Yeah. You don't jump on a killdozer trying to shoot inside unless you've seen Speed a few times.
And you also don't describe a bulldozer as a dragon.
Yeah.
Glenn shot 37 rounds from his service pistol. He later said, quote, I knew that killing him was the only way we're going to be able to stop this thing. He did not kill Marvin.
Oh, boy. Marvin's still going?
Yeah. Other attempts to climb aboard the bulldozer were unsuccessful because Marvin had covered the killdozer in oil.
That is so fucking... It's so great that you did everything. You could. You put a foot of bulletproof steel, and then you're like, and let's Buster Keaton the top of the motherfucker. Get a little fucking. There we go. Squirtsy squirts.
Slippity slip.
Slippity sloopies.
When Marvin and his killdozer drove into town, the Granby police were waiting for him. But the lawmen quickly realized they were completely powerless against the killdozer. When it became clear that the armor was impervious to bullets, the police tried explosives. The explosives also had no effect.
Wow.
One officer dropped a flashbang grenade down the bulldozer's exhaust pipe with no effect.
And a middle finger shot out.
It's like the Terminator. You can't stop her.
Meanwhile, Marvin's drinking a Capri Sun listening to Van Halen.
The lawman just ended up trying to vacate everyone from the killdozer's path.
Jesus.
The local police utilized a reverse 911 system to call residents and warn them of the approaching danger.
So this call's going to sound crazy, but this is 911.
We've talked about this before in the town. This is a code 49 bulldozer on the loose.
Hey, how you doing? This is 911. Get out of your house. There's a killdozer coming.
I'm sorry.
A man has built a bulletproof, impenetrable bulldozer.
Okay.
This is 911, sir.
I'm cooking dinner.
No, sir.
No, I get it. It's
There's a
funny
killdozer.
Little, it's a funny little. It does say 911.
If you hear Panama, the song coming towards you, run.
Oh, I do hear Panama right
run,
now.
Run, sir, run.
Oh, God, the wolves.
Don't worry. I'll try and shoot at him.
News helicopters filmed the violence from above. The huge and now very weighted down bulldozer was obviously too difficult to control. It swerved widely through the streets. Now, that's going to happen when you put a 30-ton bunker on top of your bulldozer.
And why
they say that at John Deere not to do it.
Yeah, no, they've always said that. That's John Deere's thing. But why not, like, go 7 miles per hour?
Why not do this at all?
Well, I'm just saying, once we're in the thick of it, and once we've sent the audio tapes to our brother,
yeah,
why not just go, fuck,
just casual?
Yeah.
Marvin was still able to seek out and hit his specific targets. The bulldozer demolished cars and buildings, including the home of a former mayor, the office of a newspaper that had sided against him in an editorial.
I think we know which editorial that was. That motherfucker was like, as soon as he saw a killdozer coming towards his office, he was like, I know who's inside there.
Oh my God, I told you. The business of a former city council member and city hall.
Jesus.
And the library.
Well, that's kind of fucked up.
No one was injured or killed.
Fuck books!
Books are books. This is where you did your learning.
Yeah.
The Granby police requisitioned an industrial scraper to fight the bulldozer.
Okay.
This is now like in that Benicio del Toro movie about the giant robots fighting in the ocean. Okay. Pacific Rim. That's what this is like now.
But what is it? What's the scraper?
Is it Benicio del Toro? No, that's someone else. That's an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor.
It's the other Del Toro, right? What's the...
Oh, the director?
Yeah, the director.
Fuck. I don't know. People give a shit for this. I can't
remember.
Guillermo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a superhero versus superhero type thing now.
Oh, so the scraper? Okay.
The scraper's going to take on the bulldozer.
Oh, yeah, all right.
The killdozer just shoved the scraper aside.
All right.
Okay, well, that was...
Point Dragon.
Okay, well, we thought that was going to be a big fight.
Alrighty. What's next?
The killdozer,
lay down the spikes.
The killdozer continued destroying and was now nearing 2 hours.
Wow.
They just couldn't stop it. It's just demolishing shit. Jesus. And they're like, we can't shoot it. We can't blow it up.
Yeah.
The bulldozer demolished 13 buildings and was headed to its next target, Gamble's Hardware. Gamble.
Where they didn't sell him a screw.
Gamble was a man that Marvin had sued.
Okay.
I couldn't figure out why.
Yeah, he wanted him. After all, he wanted him legalized.
At this time, the mayor was considering bringing in the United States Air Force with their Fairchild Republic A-10 Thunderbolt II, also known as a Warthog, to fire an anti-tank missile at the killdozer.
Wow,
America!
Yeah, that's
America.
Yeah, I support everything that's happening.
Everything. But the damage from small arms fire and the extra weight of the armor were taking a toll on the vehicle. The radiator had sprung a leak and the killdozer was losing horsepower. As the bulldozer crashed through the wall of the hardware store, the floor beneath the beast broke and the front end of the bulldozer fell into a shallow basement.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like a trap. It's like when you put like leaves and stuff over a hole and a tiger falls in.
Which is why I'm always very careful when I see a pile of leaves.
It's why I don't crash into hardware stores.
Yeah, same thing.
The engine tried but could not pull itself out of the pit. SWAT teams surrounded...
Couldn't reverse out of a pit with 2 tons of steel on its
front? I can't believe this isn't working! The SWAT team surrounded the immobilized killdozer. One of the SWAT team members reported hearing a single muffled gunshot from within the cab.
Oh, boy.
The killdozer stopped moving, ending a rampage that had lasted 2 hours and 7 minutes and caused $7 million in damage.
Wow.
But they still couldn't get into the cab.
Wow.
Explosives were used to try to open the tank, but they were unsuccessful.
Oh, my God.
In the end, it took 12 hours with an oxyacetylene torch.
Okay.
And a crane to crack the armored top off.
Holy shit.
Inside, Heemeyer was found dead, having shot himself with a .357 handgun. He was the lone casualty in the destruction spree. Today, there are a number of groups who idolize Marvin and his fight against a corrupt system. Of course there are. Yeah. It's America.
Yeah.
There's probably guys with the picture on the wall. Yeah. They walk by it and they kiss their lips every day. And then they put their finger to the picture and they go, love you, Marvin.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fight's never going to end, brother. The fight is never going to end. And then they go take a shower.
What's the fight?
Yeah. Just against the government.
Ruin your enemy's buildings.
You got, we're standing up for mufflers. The muffler war is not over. They celebrate his ingenuity, his ambition, and his valiant effort to prevent any casualties. But it's likely that Marvin wanted to kill many of the buildings he razzed.
That's what I was just thinking.
With all the guns?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, he didn't want to kill nobody. Is that why he had 3 guns? Really?
Yeah. I mean, a bulldozer is not a super fast vehicle.
If you're just bulldozing, you probably don't want to kill.
Yeah.
But if you're bulldozing in an armored top with gun ports.
Yeah.
In a sniper rifle,
you're definitely thinking killing's an option.
I'm going to kill some people.
Yeah. He probably just couldn't multitask. It's got to be hard to keep all that moving.
Yeah.
And shoot your enemies.
That's
in the
one thing. When he got out there, he's like, God, I wish I brought another guy.
Yeah. Second guy. Unfortunately, that's a hard pitch to friends.
It is a hard pitch. You got to wait for someone else to get fucked over by zoning, and then it's a whole.
I know. They look pretty good this year. Hey, what do you think when I say killdozer?
Many of the buildings he razzed were occupied moments before he attacked. There was also evidence of shots fired from the tank at multiple locales and an attempt to push a wall down on a pair of police officers. Police said Marvin fired 15 shots from his rifle at power transformers and propane tanks. Had these tanks ruptured and exploded, anyone within a half mile of the explosion would have been killed.
Jesus.
Including
Christ.
All of the people in the local old people's home, the retirement home.
Oh, that's next nice. To the
so he might have blown up a bunch of old people.
That's nice.
And then we wouldn't be reading the story because it'd be a bummer.
Yeah, right.
Ian,
so thank God for his valiant effort.
Ian Daugherty, a local bakery owner, said Marvin went out of his way not to harm people.
Okay,
Ian.
Sure.
Once the killdozer's cab was open and Marvin was removed, the police...
The smell was delightful.
I mean, the smell of a dude stuck in a hot little cubicle is bad enough, but when the dude is opened up, like when his top is...
Probably smelled bad after the 2 hours.
I would say when his hat is taken off.
Yep, yes, when he's removed his chapeau.
So he had a list of targets. In addition to buildings and businesses, they included just names of people.
His name should have been last. That would have been sick.
Marvin. Yeah. He scratches that off and blows his head off.
Yeah.
Owners of all the buildings that were damaged had some connections to Heemeyer's disputes. In order to prevent Rampage and Myers from collecting killdozer memorabilia, the dozer was dismantled and its parts were scattered among many separate scrapyards.
Of lovely. Course. Lovely.
Of course you have to do that.
it's like the remains of like Jason or something.
On the other hand, what would be wrong with cutting it up and selling it all and using that money to put the town back together?
Yeah. Totally.
Who cares? He didn't kill anybody. He's just a property.
I agree.
The tapes Marvin had sent to his brother were turned over to the FBI. On the tapes, Marvin explained that God built me for this job. Okay. All right.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, sure. God has his odd plans.
Yeah, and it's always fun when the person thinks that God's been that specific.
Really super specific.
Like God is like involved in like bulldozer prototypes.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm going to need a guy to go on a bulldozer rampage.
So here's what I'm thinking. Soft pitch, bulldozer, bulletproof.
Yeah.
Gets his enemies.
Yep.
No casualties.
Marvin.
Boom, I'll be in my office.
Has been born. He also said it was God's plan that he not be married or have a family so he could be in a position to carry out such an attack. Well, God's plan, your wife, your fiance fucked another guy. It's all God's plan.
You know, God really wanted her to fuck that guy.
God really wanted it.
Which is why it's such a shame that I have to destroy his office today.
Yeah, I'm destroying God's office?
No, the guy who fucked my wife.
Fair.
Wait, who are we?
I think God will bless me to get the machine done, to drive it, to do the stuff that I have to do. God bless me in advance for the task that I am about to undertake. It is my duty. God has asked me to do this. It's a cross that I'm going to carry, and I'm carrying it in God's name. Marvin Heemeyer.
It always would. It's almost, moments like that are when I wish that there was a heaven and a hell.
Yeah.
Just for the person to think
But it should be videotaped.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter if there's heaven and hell.
Yeah.
But there has to be a videotape of the guy, like, right above the door of the person going, like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's the fucking shot. That's the money shot.
Yeah.
And everyone's, like, sitting around waiting, like, tonight.
Yeah.
Like, the two fucking Muslim guys that just shot up Paris.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they just show them going down to hell, like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wait. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Hold on.
Part of me loves Marvin, though.
I don't hate Marvin.
Right?
No.
And when people get really fucked over.
Yeah.
Like, because this is kind of like a movie.
Falling Down is like a great movie where a man just it's just a movie about a guy who just lost his fucking shit in traffic.
Lost his shit. Yeah.
And I get that.
I get it.
I get the idea sometimes of just being like, you know what? I'm just going to go to a fast food restaurant and get breakfast on foot instead of waiting in this fucking traffic.
And then there will be killing.
Yeah, eventually.
All right, well.
Well, God, I'm sure God and Marvin are chilling right now, cracking a couple of cold ones.
Talking about mufflers.
On heaven's porch, muffler fat chewing.